Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another edition of Just Ball Things, coming back to you after a week.
Yeah!
Only 1 week. This is unlike us. Two podcasts in 2 weeks.
Hopefully we're back next week.
Hopefully we are back next week.
It is Mother's Day and we are full of...
I know, we have forsaken...
our own mothers. Yes. We've foregone time with our own mothers, but they'll be sticking around. They'll probably... they don't listen to our podcast, so stuff them.
Yeah, fuck them.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Straight into the podcast now. I love my dearest.
As do I.
What have you... today?
Yeah.
Very next to me.
That's me.
Very next to me. I'm touching him.
Yep.
Is the J-Man, Jack Manuel. How are you?
Swell.
What are your plans for Mother's Day, mate?
Made some brekkie for old Debsies.
Deborino. Well deserved.
I need to take back some headphones for her. Chaz bought... she specifically asked for JBL headphones, and she circled them. Chaz got her another pair because he thought they were better, longer battery life, and Mum's like, nah. Get the JBL. So on the way back, gotta go by Corite Creek Road. Hopefully I can get them exchanged and money and stuff, because Chaz is the one that bought them, but I can't foresee there being any issues. But Deborino, JBL fan.
So yeah. Anyway, it's not surprising that Chaz would go off the cuff and be like, trust me, Debra, these are better. Like, well, that's not what I want. And so that's why I just got my mother a voucher.
Yeah.
Easy. I bought some cupcakes.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Cupcakes for dinner tonight. We got dinner tonight.
So, you're having cupcakes for dinner?
No, not for dinner.
Oh, okay.
But post-dinner.
Dessert.
Yes.
That's the word. That's
the word. There's some salt, there's salted caramel one, some red velvet,
cooked
cream.
Yep.
Great some classic chocolate. It's
those are probably the four best flavors of sweet things.
We've got some good ones in there.
Yeah, I like it.
It's been good.
Yep.
So that's Mother's Day. So is official banter time officially over?
And a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who you have and who are around us. And if you are a mother listening, cool, because we like the female demographic.
Damn right. All right. You can contact us as usual.
Banter time over.
At the J-Man.
Just making sure you knew.
JBT. Or at JBT Nick.
Let's find out how
we're also closely affiliated. Please don't.
He has.
Let's get that follower. Is it still 61? I believe it was 61.
No, you were 60 last week. I remember.
So if it's 61, then that's good. We're also closely affiliated with OTG Basketball. They've got an awesome podcast network and news website. You can keep up to date with all things NBA. Make sure you give them a follow on Twitter as well, at OTG Basketball. Jack, what is the Twitter count?
61.
That's Sesantuno, yes, very good. 61.
Good with my numbers.
I'm pretty sure it was 61 last week.
I thought it was 60.
I don't recall getting a notification for a new follower.
Do you get notifications for doing nothing?
I do.
Ah.
I get notifications every day from Twitter. I just don't check it.
It's essentially basically whenever OTG or me will tag you in the fact that...
I get heaps of, like, this is what's happening right now.
Oh, right. And like, I don't get those.
Don't you?
No, because I'm on Twitter every single day and probably every single hour of the day.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Jackie boy, what's going on OTG land?
Plenty of final stuff. The podcast, we got some merch coming out, Nicky boy.
You teased that last
design.com/OTG. Hit up OTGBasketball.com as well. Brooklyn Bars OTG logo. I'm hoping to get some JBT stuff up there as well.
Mm-hmm.
It is international shipping is $45. So for the Australian listeners, if you want to pull it up, hit us up on the DMs and we can all pull something together and it'll make that shipping a little bit less.
A bit pricey for the shipping.
So like if there's 9 of us, you know, shipping's only $5 each.
Oh, that's positive, man.
Surely we have 9 listeners in Australia. Hopefully. You know, hit us up.
Wouldn't count on it, mate. You can hit us up on Facebook. Facebook.com/JustBallThings. Give us a like and a follow there. JBTPodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on email. We'll read them out in the show. Our diehard fans out there. Busey Manuel Scale, mate. Let's get right into it because playoff basketball has not stopped.
It hasn't, but there's been other stuff.
There has been other stuff. Basketball in general, the basketball world in general, there is no off-season.
There is not.
It's going to be a very interesting postseason.
Wild.
So stay tuned even after the finals. Anyway, Busing Manuel Scale is a JBT created scale that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. Scale it on alternative, Twitter, Wikipedia, or just straight up fact.
Yes.
The scale of facts.
Yes, it is.
Mate.
Jason. Jason.
Jason.
I was going to say Kidster. Kidskies. JK. JK Rowling.
JK. Yep. Jokes.
Just kidding.
Will be the head coach for the Lakers. Wait for it.
Ooh.
Before the end of the 2019-2020 now, regular season.
How is this even possible? Isn't Frank Vogel the head coach of the Lakers?
Wow.
Wow. Here we go.
Let me tell you
something. Here we go, Nick.
I think this is obviously come in light of Frank Vogel getting hired by the Lakers with JK... Mr. Rowling. Mrs.
We're calling him Mr. Rowling.
Mr. Rowling.
No, that's too high of a compliment. He's not a well-accredited author. He's a guy that spills drinks and hits women. F this MF-er. We'll speak about it.
Anyway, Jason Kidd is the assistant coach.
He is.
And lead assistant. So, essentially, I'll rephrase this. Is Vogel getting replaced by Jason Kidd by the end of the season?
That's the exact same thing, Nick.
Yeah, it's not quite the same.
How the hell is it?
Because Vogel is not mentioned in this. So we're doubled it down for the people, for myself.
I hate you. lovely Twitter interactions. The timeline's gone crazy. The Lakers are falling into an abyss. It seems like they're King's Landing and the Dragon is just the rest of the NBA world that is about to burn them to smithereens. Drogon is going to Dracarys the shit out of Cersei, Genie, Buss, and the rest of them. That was pretty good, yeah? That wasn't the bad comparison.
Game of Thrones spoilers.
Yeah. nothing has happened in that department yet. But yeah, obviously, the talk is, you know, obviously Ty Lue should have been the coach. He was disappointed with the deal that was put in place to him by Rob Pelinka.
Wasn't enough. There was not many, two aspects, I think.
Years? I think number of years. I don't think he cared about the money as much. I think
it was more the years, and from what I heard, he wanted to bring in his own staff, couldn't.
Shouldn't, if you're a head coach, shouldn't you have the free will to bring in the people who you think will benefit you most so you can get the most out of the players and the organization? It just seems stupid. Here, you have to have
just
this guy.
It doesn't seem like Rob Pelinka knows what he's doing.
It doesn't seem like anyone in that Lakers organization knows what they're doing. Why is Jeannie Buss listening to Kurt and Linda Rambis still? This isn't like a family organization. This isn't like the Sopranos or some bullshit. Like, the best move for Jeannie Buss, for her reputation and for, you know, moving on and making the Lakers a more, a new era of Lakers basketball is going beyond the family tree. Going beyond what you know and love. Expand your horizons, you know? You know, Danny made her way to the North and, yeah, she lost Jorah. And eventually lost Masande. But that wasn't in the North. That was a different sort of situation.
She also lost one of her children in the North.
Yes, I mean, she didn't physically have the dragon. I don't buy into the fact that, like, she's a pet owner. A very large pet owner. And she's a bad pet owner. And John is a bad pet owner. And John needs to pet and pat Ghost. And it is bullshit.
I feel like that's... Anyway, we're getting into Game of Thrones
talk.
We'll get to that a bit later. Stay at the topic at hand.
Yes.
Will Jason Kidd conclude as the coach of the Lakers at the end of next season?
I'm going to give it some Twitters because it's very hard to forecast right now. But I'm disappointed in this because I was listening to Jackie McMullen on the podcast she does with Brian Windhorst. And I never knew about the history of Jason Kidd. I mean, he obviously was a former net, you know, a relatively accomplished, a very well accomplished player. Been a terrible coach.
Not so accomplished coach.
And a lot of people give him credit for the Giannis, you know, revitalization. Yes, Giannis liked him, but he also forbid Giannis from, like, taking jumpers at the same time. He sort of broke his jump shot. And without Mike Budenholzer, I don't think we would see Giannis in his fullest iteration. So I think Mike Budenholzer and the assistant coaching staff deserves a lot more credit there. And he has a history of doing dumb shit. He's a drink driver. He hit his former wife and somehow got away with a fucking $200 fine and anger management classes.
Which, as a result of that domestic
which
violence.
Which bewilders the fuck out of me. Like,
2004 was a crazy, heady time.
2004, man. It was probably like NSYNC were dominating the charts then.
Right. I probably want to Google what was happening in
2004. You do that. Do you want me to keep spieling while you Google some 2004 stuff?
Sure.
There have been some great tweet moments as well. A lot of Game of Thrones comparison with the fact that Shrieker posted on his Twitter page, Frank Vogel and Jason Kidd walking into the Lakers locker room, and it's Ned Stark walking alongside Littlefinger. Someone has also done a Littlefinger, Jason Kidd mashup. He's essentially Littlefinger, and Littlefinger is a piece of shit as well, and he got his comeuppance from Sansa. Sansa did her thing. Willie, yeah, I think that there's certainly some value in it. Ty Lue should be the Lakers head coach, and it is a travesty that he is not. It just doesn't make any sense to me why this person is the head coach. Well, Frank Vogel, I mean, you mentioned, Nick, it's like, what has he done as a head coach? And I'm like, well, he was good with the Pacers, but then he took over the Magic the season before last season, and it was trash. And then Steve Clifford comes in and immediately makes more of an impact. Mm. So, 2004, what was happening, Nicky boy?
Yeah, 2004. MySpace was 1 year old.
Oh.
And I think that's the... I'm going...
Key takeaway.
Classic BuzzFeed, at it again. They come through with our time of need.
Oh, really? All the time. We should just... We need to dedicate some podcasts to BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed, if you're looking for a podcast for your expanding media conglomerate, hit us up at the JManJBT.
It's been 10 years since you first heard Toxic.
Jam.
2004, Britney,
you reckon that's Britney, you reckon that's Britney's best jam?
I would agree. Yeah, I would say. Other things happening in music. American Idiot came out.
Great jam.
Amy Winehouse's debut album came out in 2004.
That wasn't even the good one, was it?
I don't think so. But wow. Like, and James Blunt came out with his debut album.
You're beautiful, Nick.
I mean,
you're beautiful.
It's amazing. It's like 15 years is a long time.
Oh,
I guess.
Man, 15 years.
15
yeah.
years. But that was that's what was happening in the world when Jason Kidd received a $200 fine for domestic.
I wonder.
For domestic violence.
It's crazy, crazy.
But what I'm gonna put in my two cents on this.
Do it, Nick, and then I'll get to my little.
I'm giving this one a Twitter fact. Wikipedia fact.
A little stronger.
A little bit stronger. I'm not going all out fact because it
you can't.
It just seems. It's
hyperbolic.
Yeah, it's good very word. Yes, very hyperbolic. A lot of hyperboles.
Yeah,
the bowls that
of
are hyper. It just seems strange how they rejected Ty Lue on the basis of we want this coach to be an assistant.
Yeah.
It's one of the main reasons why Lue turned down the job. You don't pine that hard for an assistant if you. Like, who pines that hard for an assistant if it's just an assistant?
And apparently they impressed him so much because of his scouting reports on Lonzo Ball. And it's just like, this is LeBron's team. You need to, if you want to be a championship contender, who cares about Lonzo Ball? Yeah, cool. Get those ZO2s going, bruh.
If we're still chatting about the Lakers, like last week, I think there was a rumors coming out again that Buss had been advised to trade
LeBron James. It's
which sort of irks back.
And then there was the protest with all these 20-something bros like himself.
Been crazy in Lakerland right now.
It's been insane. And in that, I put out a poll a couple of hours ago. Who would you rather have as your team's head coach out of Frank Vogel and Jason Kidd? An overwhelming 74% said Frank Vogel. Who would you have, Nick?
I would definitely have Frank Vogel.
And I will quote a few people who did jump in. So, Evan Wetzel, having both can be huge, but Kidd tends to clash with people. I mean, we've spoken about that many times. So, I wouldn't be surprised if it falls apart in the same way it did with Lonz Frank. Vogel as head is the right call, but we shall see. Vogel has Phil Jackson's fingerprints all over it. This is from my boy Kent. Kidd was a last-minute decision, probably not in Phil's plans. Let's see if this pans out. I mean, I really just don't know what the hell is going on in Lakerland. It just seems bewildering.
I think it stems from Rob Pelinka in a position that he's not familiar with, and I frankly don't think he can do.
I think he is the reason why Ty Lue left the negotiations. You're an agent. Shouldn't have been the... If you're going to, like, you look up... Nick, Google for me right now skills for an agent, for a sports agent.
I'm not sure that anything's going
to
come up.
I guarantee you that, like, in terms of personality things or just, you know, things you need to have or traits, is negotiation skills. Where is it, Nick, on the list?
Sportsmanagementdegrees.com. That's a thing.
What do we got?
Top five most important characteristics for sports agent.
Give it to me.
Business acumen.
Got to have it.
That is a
great word. Rob's got that a little bit.
Social intelligence.
He does not have that. He speaks... in these ridiculous riddles of Taylor Swift and Jesus, like interweaves them in horribly different ways.
Negotiation skills.
Number three, Nick. It's number three.
It seems passion for sports. Okay,
he's got the passion.
I'll give him that. Good public image.
I'm not 100% sure on that anymore.
I think before the GM job, his public image was sky high.
But then in his tenure with the Lakers as a front office member, it has been horrible. So I think that the reason why the 3 years, $80 million is fine for any other coach. But for a guy, Ty Lue, for people that might have forgotten, has won a championship with LeBron James. So that's a decent history behind those two and their working relationship. And every other coach, like most first-time coaches, Monty Williams in Phoenix got a five-year deal. Luke Walton, upon being hired by the Lakers, got a five-year deal, five-year, $25 million deal. Give the exact same deal to Ty Lue, despite the fact that he's still getting a couple of years paid out from the Cleveland Cavaliers. So he's got that money. Nick, what's he? He's got that money.
You could say. He's in the money.
Has he got the ka-ching? Give me the cash register.
I've got the ka-ching. I should do the finger thing means the tax.
Yeah, we should do that next time.
I need to get that one.
Yeah, for sure.
I need to get that one.
One final one before we do move on. Gerardo Parrell hype train. Frank Vogel got the number one seed in the East and nearly took out Miami LeBron with a young Paul George and Roy Hibbert as a center. Duke can coach. He can coach. Obviously, that was about 5, 6, 7 years ago at this stage. So it's been a while ago since that happened.
My most recent memory of Vogel is his Magic tenure. And I am not judging. I mean, I don't really know a whole lot about coaches and, being really relatively new to the sport. I've been following it for maybe six years now. The history of players coming into coaches and knowing where they've come, who they've taught off, is still very foreign to me. So my memories of Frank Vogel have been at the Magic team, and I'm not judging him for what was happened at the Magic. And Mr. Twitter man himself just said, his name escapes me.
Yeah.
The things that he did with the Pacers were impressive.
And maybe he can change the defensive identity. They were a bit poorer this season. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see how it all pans out. Their free agency is more important than this head coaching
thing. Potentially.
But Nick, I'll leave on one thing, and this is from Ramona Shelbourne, one of the most accredited sports writers out there. And this was in relation to Jason Kidd not being named head coach in the first place. I think his issues with domestic violence were a major red flag. He's still on the staff, but it's different when he's the head guy. It's not the fact that he's an assistant coach doesn't change the fact that he still hit a woman, was charged with that. Like, you're still legitimately bringing this person into your organization. For a team that also glorifies Kobe Bryant and everything he does and sweeps everything of him under the rug, it doesn't surprise me.
I don't think that that's going to be a major player into this, into this business decision, though. The fact that the PR is out on him on that incident is bad. The fact that they've put him in a lesser role as more of a probationary start and being like, well,
we didn't do it in the first place.
He's had this history of being this irrational person.
Yeah.
Maybe if we put him in the assistant coach role, we can sort of lead him in the right direction because we think that his philosophies are right or whatever. And then it's just his temperament that's bad. If you can coach that, if you can sort of, I guess, weed that out of him, then he'll make a good head coach. Maybe that's their plan. And I think that's what Ramona Shelburne's getting at there.
It still shouldn't be rationalized.
Putting him in a lesser role to start is sort of the same as having a probationary period at work.
Yeah.
See if you fit. If not, then that's fine.
Yeah.
If we'd be in a head coach, you're not going to ditch your head coach.
Yeah.
3 weeks into this, I mean, you can. You can be the Phoenix Suns.
Earl Watson, too. this year's series loss, Nicholas, for Houston to the Warriors was worse than last year's. Now, there's an article on Deadspin going around. I got a lot of my boys in the Twitter DMs from OTG. I'm going to comment on a few of theirs, but I'll get your thoughts first. Thoughts first.
My thoughts are thirsty.
Yes, they are.
That's a good name.
Forts.
How would you spell forts?
F-O-U-G-H-T-S.
Oh, you're doing it that.
Yeah, well,
like a fort, like a pillow fort.
Yeah. Right. No, F-O-U-G-H-T. Fort is F-O-R-T. Because,
yeah, that's what I mean. That's how I would say it. Forts.
Yeah. Yeah.
F-O-R-T-S. My forts are thirsty.
No, but...
my buildings are very thirsty.
No, because you were playing on the wordplay, so the play on the wordplay should be the fact that we're replacing the TH just with an F. That's it.
Oh, okay, so it's like the spooner.
Yes,
the spooner.
You're just switching the two letters.
Fine! Bum. But it is worse. This is a 100% factoroony.
Why?
Everything was set up so that the Rockets would win Game 6.
Okay, dude. Chris Paul healthy.
Exactly. Like, everything was falling in, like...
Home game.
Home game, Harden having...
Good game.
Great...
35.
A great game. Yep. You're getting production out of...
CP.
Oh, yeah, okay. You're getting production out of Rivers and PJ Tucker as well. Throughout the series.
Yeah, they were good.
Like, Rivers was not supposed to be anything in this postseason.
Yeah.
And he's been the complete opposite of that.
Him
he's
and Cantor. Him and Cantor.
Him and, yes.
Enes Kanter.
I'm glad we've got this.
Enes Kanter.
Enes Kanter. They've both been truly, truly
Rodney
good.
Hood as well.
Where was this? And George Hill? Where the frick was this?
We don't have sound bites for those players.
No, we don't.
Rodney Hood.
Hood.
That wasn't too bad.
Rudy.
Hood.
Regular. Oh, it's Rooney. Regular size Rooney.
All right.
Regular size Rodney.
Regular size Rodney.
Anyway, we're getting off track.
We always do.
It was much worse. Everything was set up for Houston to win, which of course is the perfect recipe for Houston to lose. It was almost. It's just. Is it poetic justice? I think maybe to
why
a, to
why
a
do
point.
You mean poetic justice?
Well, there were...
Basketball karma with the Chris Paul thing?
Yeah.
That pissed me off.
Like...
I just hate him. Rockets
having, like... It's like something that would be written in a drama. They're complaining a lot.
Basketball gods. The speaking.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it was basketball karma. Exactly like you said.
I believe in the basketball
after
gods.
Last season saying we would have won that in... Not just them, everyone saying they would have won that series with Chris Paul.
Oh, 27, or if we just had a hit of three shots.
Yeah, exactly. They're complaining about the refs. They have rattled off a few games, a few great games. They're looking like they could be champions. KD goes down. It was just things were lining up.
Yeah.
And then in classic Game of Thrones style...
Emilia Clarke was there as well, Nick!
She was!
She was there, and I mean... Emilia Clarke is a gorgeous woman. She's just like, I watched the video just so many times just because when she's smiling, it makes me happy.
She seems legitimately struck, starstruck and embarrassed.
Yeah.
You see a lot of people, it's just like, you know, they're just
waving. Beyonce was there as well.
Yeah, no, they're just waving. It's like, yeah, no, whatever. She seems legitimately thankful that she's getting the love and the praise
and
that she
gets. The for those that haven't seen, the little, where it has like the person's name, it's like, you know, Pete Davidson, SNL actor, for like Emilia Clarke, had like Mother of Dragons and the whole thing.
Oh, the whole spiel
of Daenerys, whatever the hell she is. She's a well
breaker of chains.
Yes,
the unburnt.
I mean, her resume is quite fulfilled.
It is. It is one sentence long. That's all it needs to be.
But I'll quote my boys, Will Jackson. This year, because the Warriors seem vulnerable, especially without KD in Game 6, this kind of felt like their chance with an aging CP3. Obviously, we'll talk a little bit about him in a sec. Nick Cavallo, this year's by miles, kilometers, light years, whatever unit of distance you'd like. CP3 on the court, KD gone, done in less than a game. And then my boy Nathan Sherman, last year, in my opinion, he went the other way. They never had a lead in this series, and the 0-27 will live on forever. I think it was this year, and I'll piggyback off your reasons, I'll piggyback off this. And I like that the basketball gods have done their thing. I normally don't go for the Warriors, but I was almost going for the Warriors.
You know, I was still going for the Rockets. Despite all the Chris Paul things, I do love James Harden. I love way that he composes, like the way that he holds himself, even off the court.
Yeah.
I just enjoy him as a player and as a person.
Yeah.
So I want success for him. Chris Paul, not so much. I enjoy Chris Paul on the court.
Yeah.
In some aspects, but then, you know, to the same point, I enjoy Blake Griffin on the court.
Yeah.
in some aspects, and they and their freak basketball skills is what I enjoy, but their demeanor off the court is less than pleasurable.
Yeah, speaking of off-court demeanor, did you hear about, obviously, you heard about it, I'm prompting you because I told you before the podcast.
You did, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Okay. Like, oh, what happened, Jack? I'm ignorant and to shocked. Such events. Did CP3 do?
So, wow, your hyperbolic reaction is something, my friend.
It was a deep bowl of hyper.
Yeah, it was the deepest of bowls. So before the game, Steph wants to get some shots up just to get some practice in before game 6. CP3 hears about it and he's like, nah, fuck this shit, I'm not letting this happen. So he proceeds to go under the practice court and Steph's shooting, and Steph's like, oh man, okay, I'll just stay half court if you want the other half. And he's like, nah, get off. And then after the game, Steph just reacts in a really cool way. I mean, Steph greater than CP3 is, I think Steph will go down as a great all-time player quite clearly over CP3, but let's take a listen to his reaction because it's awesome.
So a fantastic reaction there from Steph.
Hi, Steph.
This was coming off the game 6 victory with the kick me off the court again.
CP3 coming right back at him. Like he acts like he flops. He acts all tough, but when it comes to the punch of it, Steph just goes, bang, I'm going to... Like, he had a horrible first half, like you sort of... We chatted about, Nick. And he just comes back in the second half and puts on an all-time performance. And he was sensational, deserved to be hype. CP3, lick your wounds, mate. And Steph's gone into another Western Conference Finals and most likely an NBA Finals.
I'm sure CP3 will go back to his multi-million dollar mansion with his lovely wife
on
and
a bed
on, yes.
on a pile of money with many
surrounded by many beautiful ladies.
Before we move on, I'm going to quickly reference Cam, Killer Cam's poll that he put on Twitter. The most embarrassing, disappointing postseason performance out of the Celtics 2018, Rockets 2018, Celtics 2019, Rockets 2019. The Celtics 2019, so this year, was the landslide winner, and the Rockets 2019 was a close second. The Celtics obviously were poor. We will definitely get to them. Do you want to get to them now?
We'll get to them now. It's a good segue.
It is. So, Killer Cam, with 60% of over almost 400 votes, mind you. Nick, what's abusing Manuel for the next one?
Abusing Manuel is Brad Stevens. Is much more to blame for the Celtics' lack of success this postseason than Kyrie Irving. Thoughts, Jack? Well, you seem very very torn on this with your long R's. There was at least 7 A's and 7 H's in that.
Are we gonna debate the length?
Well, there was no inflection, so it's all single case, or whether they're upper or lower, you can decide.
So, okay. In that sense, I think Brad Stevens has a lot to take on with the fact that he couldn't get the best out of Kyrie, or couldn't get him to buy in, or he couldn't bring out the best of his guys. He seems to be a better coach. Obvious. I don't think he's like a great as great of an X's and O's coach, apart from ATOs, out of timeout plays. When it comes to figuring out what an offense is, the Celtics just didn't have that. Whether that was on the players not buying into his offensive schemes, and it was more on them than it was on Brad Stevens, we'll never know. But it was just last season that one of these, and we talked about this on the pod, I remember specifically, and we referenced this. And I can't remember our sponsor, but I'm pretty sure that we lent to the player. But this is from Nate Silver in May 2018, 1st of May 2018. If you were starting an NBA team and wanted to maximize your chance of winning a championship over the next 5 seasons, who would you rather have, Giannis or Brad Stevens? 46% of people voted for Brad Stevens.
Wow.
46 people. Which means only 54% of the people voted for... Now, this is obviously before Giannis had this breakout postseason, the MVP that we've seen, but it's still ridiculous to think that a coach is ever going to have more of an impact than a player. Like, I wouldn't take Greg Popovich over Giannis. I wouldn't take anyone over Giannis. The player is way more important in any sort of, you know, grand scheme of things. You know, and if you look at LeBron James, he's never had the most amazing of coaches. Eric Spoelstra is probably the one that sticks out, but you know, he's won championships with Ty Lue. Ty Lue, obviously, we've spoken about him and, you know, we've given our thoughts, but that's just a ridiculous thing. And looking back on it and reflecting upon it, I'm sure people that voted for that just like the people who probably voted for in a lot of other things that weren't Twitter polls, would certainly regret their thoughts. But Brad Simmons does have to bear a lot of the blame. He did say as well in his post-game presser, check that out, that he was bad. It was a little bit different to what Kyrie said. I think Kyrie has to take a lot of the brunt of the blame as well, because the star player didn't perform in the postseason, took 20-plus shots and made like 6 or 7 shots in, you know, 3 or 4 games. It's just not good enough, and maybe he shouldn't be a Brooklyn Net. And that's saying something coming from me. I want everyone on the Brooklyn Nets.
You would not take Kyrie Irving on the Brooklyn Nets.
I literally...
You
okay.
Look at me right now and you tell me that
Nick,
you would not...
I'm literally saying this because literally hours ago, as I woke up in the morning, I recorded the Brooklyn Buzz, and I said I would take Kyrie Irving with D'Angelo Russell, and I talked myself into it, despite the fact that it is a horrible schematic fit. But, you know, this is bringing around the rumors of, like, Kyrie rejoining LeBron James. The fact that and Jackie McMullen said on her pod, she asked him in the postseason, and Kyrie didn't exactly say no. He just laughed, put his arm around Jackie McMullen, and then walked off. Take that what you will, but I think that it seems almost fait accompli that he's going to walk out of Boston, despite the fact that in the preseason he said, "Oh, I'm going to be here forever." He said in Cleveland to like a bunch of kids in front of a, you know, some sort of event. "Oh, I'm going to be in Cleveland for as long as, you know, you guys will have me, blah, blah, blah." Same as with the Boston Celtics thing. I don't know where he's going to end up. I wouldn't be surprised if he stays in Boston. I think that Boston fans hate Kyrie Irving, CC, Bill Simmons. But at the same time, I don't think he's the number one guy on a championship team. But if it means you can get Anthony Davis, sign him to that max deal. There is some injury history there, blah, blah, blah. I think he's still a great, great player. He's proven it on plenty of times, but I don't think he's your 1-1 guy, like your 1A, your A-plus guy on a championship team. He's your A. He's your 1B. I don't think he's like as bad as a number 2 guy. I think he's a 1B on a championship team, like LeBron, Kyrie, AD, Kyrie, D'Angelo Russell,
the
Kyrie.
The perfect situation, and I hope he sort of comes to realize that.
Self-reflection. He's a deep man, Nicholas. Basketball genius.
I am sure. Yeah, basketball genius. I am sure that coming off that Cleveland loss, he did legitimately feel like, you know what, I want to experience this new, I want to experience leading a team myself. Has realized that maybe he can't do that, and his best chances to win a championship is to be just a tremendous 1B to a floor general. I don't think that he necessarily has the gall or respect.
You like that word.
I do like gall.
Yeah, it's a good word. How do you spell gall? Is it
G-A-L-L? Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was G-A-W-L. G-A-L-L. That makes sense.
Oh. I mean, I always spelled it like a gallbladder.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking
but I don't... Like, that...
Keep going,
You've confused me now. I'm not sure that he has the pedigree to lead a team in a more player-centric league. So things like how LeBron leads is not... I don't think anyone else in the league can lead like LeBron
no,
does.
No, and that's how Kyrie did lead for a lot of this season.
He doesn't command the same respect. No one in the league does. And it's just... It's because it's a changing league. No one wants to be... I'd actually be willing to say Jimmy Butler is a... not to the same like skill level, but he commands a lot of respect.
You know who does in my eyes? And I think that I'm stealing from others and plenty of other podcasters. Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard oozes leadership, and his leadership brings out the best of others. You know, we touched on Rodney Hood, you know, CJ McCollum. You know, guys want to get behind him. And, guy, you know, we saw that one of the best shots in playoff history. The way that the players just gravitated towards him.
You need to be a fabled player.
Yeah.
And that's what Kyrie Irving is not.
He is, but he's not in the...
He's not fabled. Like, he's not this mystical, otherworldly... Because he doesn't have... Like, he's got good performances. But he doesn't have the highlight reel that... that Damian Lillard does.
So you think Damian Lillard's a better player than Kyrie Irving?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. That's, I've said that, and I've had many arguments with others about it.
Yeah, no, I do.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving is not as natural a leadership, a leader rather, as even KD and Damian Lillard, who lead by example.
Yeah.
They are two players who lead by example. LeBron leads with respect. So yeah. He's more like your manager who he knows more but doesn't necessarily do it.
He's the be all and end all with LeBron.
Whereas Kyrie is trying to... People are looking at Kyrie and being like, I will follow you, but only if you show me that you're worth following.
Marcus Smart gave him some plaudits. I think a lot of other guys are behind the scenes. Marcus Morris,
These aren't the players that are going to win them championships, though.
That's true.
Players are going to win the championship: Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum.
And it'll be interesting to see if he does come back or wherever he does land, what version of a person we see as Kyrie Irving. We know the basketball talents, but I think that as much as that is incredibly important in today's league, you know, obviously it's the be-all and end-all, but there's these little things when you're that good that separate you from being immense, from being great to immense, I think it's the little things and that hold great importance.
There was a great quote this is the second name drop for Jackie McMullen, because she was on a low post that I listened to, and she summed it up perfectly. I've been sort of searching for these words for a while, and I guess I feel like it's well known across the basketball, but yeah, it was news to me that you can hate each other, your teammates can dislike you. I mean, I think of it like, and I sort of was taken aback when she said that. It's like your two main guys can theoretically hate each other.
Yep.
Kobe and Shaq famously did not get along.
Yep.
But you need to respect each other.
Yep.
Because if once respect's gone and once trust is gone, you need to be able to trust that your other player. If you can trust your other player's going to make a 19-footer, then you're going to pass him the ball.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you hate him.
Yeah.
You're going to pass him the ball because you're both incredibly competitive, you both want to win, and you trust each other.
Yeah.
That comes first.
And
I don't think that has resonated in the Celtics locker room.
And I don't know if whether it's obviously trust is two ways, and I'm not sure if players trust Kyrie. I don't know if Kyrie trusts them. And that's obviously, you know, probably an even bigger factor to what, you know, went wrong and what unraveled in this Celtics season. Mm. But
people management is as important now. It's the most important thing. It's as important as it's ever been.
How awesome would it be if the Celtics lose Al Horford, they lose Kyrie Irving, and the Brooklyn Nets are in a better spot in the offseason? How poetic and gorgeous would it be, Nick? By the way, no Brooklyn Bets and Wizards Watch this week. Literally no Wizards news.
No Wizards news whatsoever.
And there's been plenty
Thank God.
Nothing to make
a
you
A slow
upset.
News week in Washington is a good news week in Washington.
Well, there's always a news week in Washington because it's politics.
I mean, yes.
The politics, Nick. Yes. You know, and so obviously, if you're looking for Brooklyn, you know, Brooklyn Buzz, subscribe on iTunes. I'm on that.
If you're looking for Wizards stuff, just jump off a cliff. that's where we'll be, the bottom of the ocean.
They might re-sign Jeff Green, who knows.
Woo!
We will move on to the Raptors and Sixers. We will go to, and this has been making the rounds, and fairly unfairly, your boy Nicky Boy, it's unfair for Brett Brown's fate to be aligned with the result of Game 7, which, by the time you guys listen to this, could be very well over.
It's interesting. I've flip flopped on this a bit.
Not a big fan of Brownie, or you? BB, B squared, B two.
Because I'm so on the fence with how he's coached, and you know what he's done, what he similarly hasn't done.
Did you expect them to get to a Game 7 with the Raptors? Like, honestly,
I thought that they'd win.
Really?
Yeah.
The Raptors to me have always screamed the better team. So to me, right now, Brett Brown is exceeding expectations.
Okay, well then that's good for you. I think that his adjustments halfway through the season have, you know, he deserves plaudits for that. His defensive adjustments.
And also being the fact that he has like two new players to integrate into this new system. No bench.
That's what I mean. I think it's, to that point, it's been unfair to judge him too harshly.
Yeah.
Given that he is in a Game 7 with the Toronto Raptors.
Where's the butt, Nick?
Second best team in the East. But...
Here we go, big butt.
And again, like, I've been so on the fence that...
Get
I've
the
heard,
butt going, Nick.
I've
Come
heard,
on.
My butt's working, mate. You know that.
You got a big butt.
that I've been swung either way because there's a lot of discussion, and mainly on the Ringer. The Ringer have focused a lot on the Sixers.
They do.
Because is it Sharks? Is it Jonathan Sharks?
No, it's Chris Ryan and John Gonzalez. John Gonzalez and Jonathan Sharks is Dallas Mavericks.
Okay, yes. Okay.
John Gonzalez.
I'm getting my names confused.
Ringer, if you want another podcast for your network, you know, JBT.
But yeah, I do listen to them OGT. A lot, and they've been talking about the Philly a lot.
Yeah.
And they have been on both sides, and I've been swung either side. Like I'm ping ponging. Because to the same point, I've heard a lot of people who are analyzing the plays that Brett Brown is making, and you're like, why would you do that? Why are you doing this? Like some really idiotic plays coming out from timeouts, and you see set plays run on the court. You're like, why are you setting up this player to do this when he's so much better?
Yeah.
Like I can't remember the details, but yeah, there's a lot of reason to hate on the way he is coaching in games. But then to that same point, he has had a completely mixed bag of players. He's had to integrate. The fact that he's giving Jimmy Butler run to just do whatever he wants is amazing. He got Ben Simmons going in that last game six, which is great. You know, I think there's a lot to cheer about him as well. So the fact that it's unfair to be it's unfair for his fate to be aligned with game seven, I think is probably a little bit true.
So it's a wiki.
So I'm going probably more true. So a wiki.
Yeah.
But there are reasons to concern yourselves if you're a Philly fan to have Brett Brown as your future coach.
Yeah, I'm going fact. I don't understand the all the hysteria around it. But some news, some hot gossip news from TMZ. Apparently, Kendall's been cheating on Benny Boy again. Nicholas. We'll see how he goes in Game 7.
Benny Boy, mate, you just stop being a pushover.
Yes.
You're a beast on the court.
Come on.
Be a beast in your love life.
Yes. Just find some.
Like I'm not all about the gender roles that you need to be a man.
Yes.
But just be a person. Be a human. Stand up for yourself, mate.
I like that, Nicholas. Great advice.
Don't be pushed around.
Yep.
And if the opposite was happening to a female, I would say the same thing.
If Kendall, Ben was doing it to Kendall.
Exactly. Kendall, just don't be a pushover.
It's what Chloe did with Tristan.
Thank you.
They worked out their things and whatever, and apparently Chloe wasn't allowed the Met Gala because she's a C-grade list celebrity.
Ooh,
this is definitely a soundbite that's going out, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a burn right
some,
there.
Some sick burns. Need some ointment for that shit.
Met Gala, just being savage.
Did you see how he styles at the Met Gala?
I did not.
He looks so fucking sexy.
He's a sexy man.
He wore like, you know, some sick fucking nail polish. Right. He was wearing like sort of this sequiny shit. He's breaking down gender roles. Love what he does, Mr. Good Styles.
He's got a lot of style.
Oh, damn it, I was going to say something very similar. If Joel Embiid plays, Nicholas plays well, the Sixers win Game 7. Fact, next one.
I mean, fact, but if he doesn't play well, they could still win.
I mean, he did play great in Game 6. Despite the fact that he was like plus 40.
They need at least
competence.
Two players on their team to have great games.
So
have great games. You can't be okay. You need to have great games.
So it was Simmons and Butler last game with Embiid okay.
Simmons and Butler, it's going to be Butler and someone.
Yeah.
Whether it's Butler and Embiid, and it'll be a freaking landslide.
And I mean,
if it's Butler and Redick, like Redick hasn't gotten quite off the ground yet. Or Harris, yeah.
Harris
like
and someone, yep.
Yeah. Two players need to have great performances.
You could say that conversely for the Raptors.
For the Raptors,
When it was Pascal and Kawhi, they were winning games. And obviously, Kawhi and Kyle hasn't been great. I think that a more underrated thing is Marc Gasol and Kyle Lowry. Those guys have above-average games. I think that the Raptors win it.
Do you think the Raptors win this game?
I don't, actually. My gut's actually... My gut, like similar with you with the Warriors, gut says the Sixers.
I'm going to call the podcast.
Yeah.
Your prediction.
Okay.
What are you going? I want margin, and I want who's winning the...
Sportsman, I'm not you!
I'm giving... give me the margin, and who's winning this Game 7?
Sixers. 4 points.
That's a great name for a band troupe as well.
Yeah.
Have you seen, like, the Sixers, Stixers?
Yes.
That's cool. Anyway, so Sixers in what?
By 4 points.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, by four. All right, mate. That is going on the record.
Well, are you not giving a prediction?
I'm probably going to say the same. Because I feel like the Sixers are going to win as well.
Yeah.
But it's
going to I kind of hope they do as well, because then Kawhi might come to Brooklyn.
I don't know whether I hope it's going to be tight. I definitely hope it's going to be tight. I don't know that I know it's going to be tight.
I have no idea what's going to happen.
I have a bad feeling.
I have just a gut reaction that I think the Sixers will win. And I think that a lot of the time you get bogged down by the analytics and such. Yeah. And sometimes you're just going to go with your gut. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's going to favor the Sixers. But we got Chuck with the next one. And he'll touch on something else in relation to the NBA Finals.
The Milwaukee Bucks are going to win the world championship.
Oh, wow.
Wait.
They're going to win it all.
I thought you said Portland.
No, I said Portland's going to get to the finals.
So they're beating Portland in the NBA finals.
I'm just saying this. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to win the world championship.
Jackie boy, I think Stephen A. Smith has some choice words for Mr. Charles Barkley.
Stay off the weed!
Love it!
It was a very overused drop last week, and it's making an appearance back this week. I mean, that's essentially summed it up there. does Charles Barkley need to stay off the weed?
Duh. Well, the Milwaukee Bucks as the world champion, Nick, doesn't seem completely out of the realm.
I mean, I completely agree, and I know exactly where you're going with this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm stealing your take to an extent. But for me, and we talked about it, it's the Portland Trailblazers need to beat the Denver Nuggets first to even make the NBA Finals.
In a Game 7 in Denver.
Away from home. And I mean, we can't doubt the greatness of a guy like Damian Lillard. But Nikola Jokic, we spoke about him last week, he's been the best player in this series.
And then just so they do, then they need to beat...
Who?
The greatest team in the past freaking 6 years.
Over a three-peat of all time. One of the most stacked teams in the history of the game. One of the teams that has, probably by that stage, Kevin Durant could be back. Rumors are going around that DeMarcus Cousins could be back by that stage, adding to their depth which they so sorely need.
I mean, I wish all the best for Chuck in this outlandish take.
Shaq
but
summed
it up seems
best.
Quite... He
did. Word.
It's like, whoa, slow down there, Chucky.
It's an alternative fact. Like, Chuck, just stay off the Wii. Duh.
The Wii, duh.
It's, okay, I'll put to you now. Who's winning Game 7? Portland Trailblazers, Denver.
This is tough. I reckon this is tougher than Philly.
I think it is as well.
Yeah, it's... Philly Raptors. And Philly Raptors are still close.
Yeah, of course.
And so then, like, that's how ridiculously close this could be.
Yeah.
It really could swing. It really could swing either way.
Yeah. I think I'm going to wake up early for it.
I have been against the Nuggets.
Denver?
Yes. Who needs a soundboard when we have a Jack? I have been against the Nuggets.
Denver.
For the whole... Essentially, since the start of the season.
You have.
Really, I have
you
been.
You did not have them in your plan.
But I'm supporting them now.
Oh, bang!
I think after Jamal Murray's poor game, game 6...
He has been.
We've had our Damian Lillard breakout game.
Yep, we have.
Collins played well. I don't think he can back that up in Denver.
Ronnie Hood.
I have faith in the Hood,
yep.
But it's more the everything else. Everything else will fall better for Denver at home. Jokic is going to be Jokic.
Yep.
Murray's going to hit some shots this
role
game.
Role players will hit their shots a little bit more at home. It always happens. I think Denver as well. I thought Portland would take it out before the series started. And, you know,
But then again, I'm putting a caveat on this, because if Lillard scores 40,
yep.
They win.
Okay.
There's
a prediction.
Even if Jamal Murray has the game that I'm predicting that he's going to have with Nikola Jokic as well. If Lillard scores 40, it will just give hope to everyone else.
Yeah.
And then the rest of Portland will play better.
And, I mean, Corey predicted Bucks in 5. Maybe myself or Nick could have a prediction ourselves. A little bit of an easier prediction for us. So, shout out to our boy K-Wall Hoops. Nicholas, we got time for off topic, don't we?
I believe we damn right do.
Yeah!
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What? 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 What?
What? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Mozart.
Mate.
Beethoven.
I love that. I love the music.
String section. It's soothing.
It's great. It's very off topic as well.
So. He just sits on people.
I'd love to know where that has come from.
Yeah. Those are literally taken from season one, season two.
Yeah, scouring through some things and just skipping to random points. I'm like,
sandwiches.
Why was I talking about that? Like, and it just fits in the song. Anyway, mate, we are going to do a little bit of a spoiler alert.
Everyone again has done Game of Thrones on their podcast. We're going to do it ourselves.
So if you do not want... Currently, we are the day before episode...
If you haven't seen episode four
seven?
Yet, then...
No, four.
Five is tomorrow.
Three was...
Five is tomorrow, isn't it?
Okay. Yes, five is tomorrow.
Yes.
So this is before episode five. So this will be spoilers from Game of Thrones...
By the time you guys listen to this, episode 5 will probably be out.
It might be out.
Yes.
You're right. So we'll already be behind the
Don't
times.
Play
anyway,
the spoiler music.
We are playing the spoiler
music. Of course we are. If you haven't seen it, guys, I mean, come on, please.
Do yourself a favor.
Episode 4 was out 6 days ago. Come on, guys.
All right. Jack, you can...
You said this is the best episode, Nick.
I thought it was.
I did not. I thought that...
Just in what happened, it was unexpected.
I mean, there was...
I didn't expect them to kill a dragon.
I really enjoyed Podsky doing his thing again, taking the bitches.
Oh, boy. I love me some Pod.
Pod is a sexy man. I want to know...
I love... like, his hair is grown. He doesn't look like a kid anymore.
He's
long-bottomed. Like
he's long-bottomed. Big time.
Oh, yeah.
He's a sexy dude. And then Bronn just showing up suddenly in Highgarden. Good for him.
That was... That
strange.
That whole scene, I remember watching it, turning to Chaz, be like,
"How did he get in there?
Did this scene just happen?" It was so out of the blue and so unexpected. I thought it was a dream.
That's
I thought the Tyrion was dreaming, and I expected him to wake up at any
point. One thing I think I would argue about the basic, probably this episode, maybe the episode before. I'm not, and just the season in general. The pacing has been just way off.
The season
like,
before
okay,
was
the,
as well,
suddenly
yeah.
They're in King's Landing
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know.
It took them like days and like seasons to get to King's Landing.
And what I mean, I'm not so upset about the skips. I'm more upset that the season has gone from it's about the journey, not the destination,
yeah.
From it's most definitely about the destination.
It's about who's sitting on that chair.
And I hate the fact that they've done this. This show... has forever been a well thought out, strategic, TV show.
Yeah, one of
the
best.
Has some of the best character development in the world. Like, did you give a shit that Missandei died?
Not overly, but I should have cared more.
Not really. No.
Yeah,
Missandei's been with her since season 3.
Yeah, I haven't felt as invested because, and I think that 6 episodes partly isn't enough. Yes, there have been extended episodes, but like you sort of mentioned this, and I sort of touched on with the pacing, you know, George R. R. Martin, to a laborious sort of degree, just builds and builds and builds with these characters. You become so invested with them. You become so invested with just their choices and everything that happens around them. You feel a part of them. Like, when Arya took that shot, and, you know, I felt more invested with the dragons than I have felt with a lot of the human characters. But like, when Rhaegal died last week, that was the most shocking, poignant moment for me,
maybe from
the season so far.
Yeah.
I cared more about that than when Jorah died, than when Ed died, and all the rest in the Long Night. Just the overarching question, Nick, because if we don't chat about it on next episode or we don't have a chance, who's sitting on the chair? Because I'm not calling it a throne. It's Game of Chairs.
It's Game of Chairs. It's just a cold chair.
And it's not even a swivel. It doesn't even swivel.
I honestly think no one.
No one!
There's not going to be an Iron Throne.
Because it's going to be destroyed.
It's going to get destroyed. Or like the symbolism, it's going to be taken down.
Danny's going to carve the shit out of everything.
Yeah, yeah. What I heard, so I personally think it's no one, but who rules at the end of the day? I mean... I don't know. If it's John, I'm probably not going to be happy. If it's Danny, I'm probably... No, but like, it's just scripted. That's what I mean. It needs to shock me. I need to be taken aback.
But like, at the same time, like, if it was George R. R. Martin's vision, that's what he wanted to happen. And that this is... How it ends is essentially what... And I read a really nice thread in the sense that with George R. R. Martin, you know, it seemed like, you know, they've got the destination in sight and they're sort of rushing there and getting
rushing
points along the way that they need to do. Oh, we need to kill the Night King. Oh, we need to kill a dragon. Oh, we need to kill this person. Oh, we need to have this battle. And how we get there doesn't matter, but we need to get there.
Mm.
And we have X amount of episodes to do that. Whereas it seemed like the story would just dictate itself in a way.
Yeah, 100%. It was self-fulfilling, yeah.
Yeah.
And everything happened for a reason, and now it just seems like you've...
It's forced.
You've got... Yeah, it's very forced. You're using all the right adjectives. Because it is. Like, rushed and forced would be the two I would use to characterize this season.
Yeah.
Which has been, you know... depressing, like a little bit upsetting.
It's still like, you know, like,
I'm still
standard.
Excited for I'm the next episode.
I mean,
I still want to see how it ends. I'm still going to buy them on Blu-ray and 4K probably.
Yeah, because it's one of the greatest, most epic shows
it's
in the
history
of television.
It's my favorite TV show of all time.
Yeah.
And if they stuff up the ending, then they stuff up the ending.
Yeah.
But those first, they can never take back those first four seasons.
No.
And I've rewatched them and they still have the same effect.
Yeah.
They still have the same effect. Watching Oberon's head get crushed by the mountain literally blows my mind.
Actually, Mountain Man Clegane is going to be cool.
Clegane Bolt.
I'm looking for this.
I'm hoping it happens.
It's got to.
Like, it has to happen. He's saying that he's got unfinished business.
Clegane's got no chance, though. He has no chance. He's going down in like, he's getting swept. Like, he might be able to extend it to, like, a gentleman sweep. Like, he might get a few early blows like the Celtics did against Milwaukee. Still a game. But he's getting fucked up by
that
dude.
What I really want to see is I don't want the Hound to win, because then it's the same thing with the Night King. I didn't want the Night King to lose.
Yeah.
Because the whole good versus evil has never been Game of Thrones thing.
Yeah.
It's not never been this whole good will always triumph. Because it's been the... the smart will triumph. The conniving will triumph.
In that sense, why is Jon Snow still alive? Because he's not a very smart
destiny
man.
And all
he knows,
that.
He knows
that.
Nothing, mate.
But this is the whole thing. Cersei's gotten so far because she's so cunning.
Ah.
What I would love to see is the Hound go down.
Yeah.
But then in his dying moment, sort of like an Android 16 sort of epiphany.
Oh, here we go.
Honestly, like head on the ground, looking at Aya dying and being like, you know, you're there, like, you're the closest thing I've had to a love or something, or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
because
their
relationship is tremendous.
It's complicated.
And then just like a sword through the head, or like literally crushed.
I mean, Arya killed
something
the Night King.
Something awesome
so
like that.
I feel like almost if she were to kill Mountain, that would be more impressive than killing the Night King to me. Like, I mean, the Night King is like the most probably fantastical
character. A stab, you stab the Mountain, he doesn't die.
That's the thing. Like, how do you kill
you
that?
You stab the Night King, he dies. He blows up.
Have you seen the Mountain without like the actor?
Yeah, yeah. He's
have you seen
tremendously
his,
large.
Have you seen his girlfriend? His girlfriend.
It's like tidy.
It's like Shaq when he's ever next to someone.
It would break her.
Yes. It's just like he's a horribly large man.
What sort of penis does he have? Nick. These are the important hard-hitting questions.
I mean, Game of Thrones obviously does a lot of penis questions as well.
They do.
I
want to see
some of the greatest moments.
The Mountain's zombie wang. That's what I want to see. Just swinging around.
Dear Lord.
And use it as a secondary sword.
Dear Lord. So you want no one to end up on the throne? Is that what you want?
I want a depressing end. So my fantasy end was that the White Walkers were going to win.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my sort of... what I had visualized.
The
I don't know how they were going
Night
to do
King,
it.
The Night King, though... He bitched out. Every single time John was like, let's do this, man. Mono-y, White Walker-y. He's just like, alright, let's just get some dead people. I'll fuck you up.
But that's realistic.
Bitch move. It's like KD going to fucking
it's
Golden
realistic.
State.
Bitch
move.
I mean,
move.
As realistic as dead people can do. Like, but like, if you had that power... why wouldn't you?
You are
winning this war tenfold. Just it's like, all right, you like I. It's the same thing in like. Have you seen Troy?
Yeah.
The
Brad
opening
Pitt, Troy?
Scene to Troy. Yeah.
Sexy
the
man.
Opening. Oh yes. Oh, yes. Yes. It's half the reason I like that film. I am not gay.
He's
but
sexy.
I, fuck me.
Sexy and fuck.
He's
up,
sexy.
Way sexy
oh, yeah.
and fuck.
Anyway. The opening scene of Troy is, you know, these two great armies are there, and they're about to kill each other. The leaders come out and be like, how about we stop this bloodshed? Your best fighter against our best fighter.
Bye.
And for Greece, it was a no-brainer, because Achilles is the greatest warrior ever. It's to the same thing. John is a tremendous warrior.
Yeah.
But why would you... Like, why do that? It's a one-on-one would favor John.
Yeah.
Even if John doesn't win, it would favor John. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Just resurrect everyone and be like, here you go. Fucking just
still
kill move. Everyone.
I'm all about the one-on-one combat.
Before we go, mate, we've got about 10 seconds left. Yes. What's your take on Bran?
Bran needs to lay off the magic mushrooms.
He is a bit of a spaced individual.
He's probably got plenty of time to keep going with him.
I'm hoping that his storyline is not completely dead, else it would have all been for nothing.
It's just like he's just too busy just like looking. That's just what he does. He just looks.
He's an observer.
See you later. And we've observed enough of him, and maybe we'll observe nothing else.
Quality Game of Thrones talk, mate. Just as always. Thank you for tuning in. Two Just Ball Things. You can catch us on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch on Apple Pods, Google Pods, Pocket Cast, Blog Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcasts, and do us a solid, leave a rating and review as well. So remember, it's you guys that make the show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.